There it is. So one of the things that I've been enjoying doing, and some of the people in the sangha have been enjoying, on Tuesdays having these Dharma study teams. And the last 4 or 5 weeks, we've been talking about the Oxford Adventures. So some of you have a lot of experience in thinking about the Oxford Adventures as a metaphor for Zen practice, and some of you have less. So I'll just give you some brief background. There is linkage going back to Shakyamuni, where he was speaking to his assembly and saying that they should take care of the practice as just as a herd boy with a staff looks after the oxen to take care that the oxen doesn't trample what's growing. The idea of using visual pictures and then usually a verse that goes with it began sometime, I believe, in early centuries in China, but has also been used extensively in Korean Zen practice, Japanese Zen practice, and obviously here it's come to the Americas as a teaching tool. So why a person and why an ox? Some people feel, particularly Philip Capwell wrote about how he felt that the ox had great resonance for people that were practitioners coming out of India, since in kind of the subcontinent of India, there is a great reverence for the ox, a great respect for cattle. And when people are thinking about kind of tending to their mind or tending to practice, they're going to kind of look around for things that kind of meet the symbolic need. So that oxen is kind of ready-made to support people thinking about something that's really strong and sometimes uncontrollable, hard to get a hold of, maybe even hard to understand. And so the metaphor can be for the mind, or sometimes people say it's a metaphor for Buddha nature. And when I think about the mind, or sort of our current ways of thinking about the mind in science, you know, it's sometimes called a 3-pound universe, because there are so many aspects of the mind spaces that scientists really haven't quite captured knowledge and understanding of just how vast it is, and also how the mind actually can, in certain ways, it's very plastic, it can heal itself. And we know also that the mind can languish, and elements of it can die through various ways. So science tells us certain things about the mind. And then I think practice is kind of asking us to kind of reach forward and kind of with this Oxfordy metaphor to explore our relationship with the mind or our relationship with Buddha nature. It kind of just gives us a starting point. So sometimes there are 5 images and verses, sometimes there are 6 images and verses, but most often there are 10. In the ones where there are 5 or 6, often the kind of the, if it's a linear lesson, the end point is the ox and the person sort of eventually becoming more diminished and diminished and diminished until they're just gone. So we might think of that as like our bodhisattva, right? The ultimate gone, 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 beyond, gone. But in the 10 verse, the linear version, the end point is not being gone, disappearing, dissolving into each other, although that is part of the process, but rather like coming back to a place where you could then go into the world and be helpful, kind of our Mahayana and Bodhisattva vow is that end point. Sometimes the 10 images are in a circle because the reality of our practice is we can go through certain stages of practice and then something happens in our life and we're kind of like, oh, kind of a new understanding, or maybe we're set back a bit. So not to think that the practice goes from here through these 10 stages to here and then it's all over with. You know, it's unceasing practice. And so sort of that circular can be a useful thing to look at. So today I wanted to talk to you about the fourth of the, and using some artwork from people who are living and who have passed, and some verses likewise, and then actually asking you to work with it a bit as well. So there'll be some questions as part of this. So it's a bit more interactive than just a straight talk to you where you're only listening. So I'm going to make sure the people here in the Zendo can see the image, which is up on the screen.
So it's just going to take me a minute to make that so.
So this first image is by a living artist. His name is Max Gimlet. He did a series of Oxfordine brushwork pieces. I think how long has it been? A decade or more ago. And in collaboration with Lewis Hyde, who is a pretty well-known writer, they published actually a book. And Lewis Hyde did study the writings, the translations as best he could. And he came up with a verse that he thought could meet Max's paintings. So just for background, in the first three paintings, there is a person, a human being, who is just oblivious to kind of anything, just kind of looking around, very curious, sees the world in front of him, hears the birds, hears the insects. It's just kind of wandering through the world, walking through the world. And then in the second picture, that person sees some footprints in the mud and wonders, what are these? What is this? In the third image, he actually sort of, or she actually sees this creature, this powerful creature, this ox in the distance. And the curiosity is even greater. So in this fourth image, as we look at Max's painting, we're kind of wondering what's going on. There's a lot of action there. Well, the action is, or what the title of this picture is catching the ox. It looks like a pretty rough and tumble activity to catch the ox. So let's read Lewis's verse. And I wonder, can you see it, Grace? Could you read Lewis's verse? Thank you.
Sorry, I can't see the poem on the screen.
Oh, can you see it now?
No.
Okay.
I can see, just the half.
Okay.
I can just see.
Alex, could you read it for us?
He must hold the rope with all his might. This ox is 2,000 pounds of old habit. One moment it runs to the high meadows, then gets lost in the fog, bound river bottom. The fog bound river bottom.
So that's what Beata was referencing this morning when we did our check-in. The 2,000 pounds. Pound ox. Okay. So this next image is kind of one of the more traditional images you see, where you see this immense creature and this pretty small person. And they are, I don't know, kind of pulling at each other. So, you know, we often ask people in their practice to give away seeking mind talk, but some people kind of turn around and say, well, maybe it's the mind seeking the way or the way seeking the mind. So maybe the same kind of question is happening here. It's like, who's pulling who in this particular image? So this next verse is from one of the Korean Zen masters. And it says, advancing with difficulty, the ox's nose is pierced, but this fiery nature is hard to control. Dragged here and there, you stray through cloud-covered forests. So this is in the collection house at Zen Mountain Monastery, this particular set of beautiful images. So this next one, again, we see the a little bit more color, which is more unusual. And again, it's like, who's pulling who? since the ox is in the foreground, we can really see its power, its strength. Let's see. So Sato, could you read this next verse by Kuan Shiyun and Paul Rapp's translating?
I seize him with a terrific struggle. His great will and power are inexhaustible. He charges to the high plateau far above the mist, cloud mists, or in an impenetrable ravine he stands.
So always like within sight, but hard to get at. Like down in the ravine or up high, when you've really got to struggle to get up there. This last image is, I think, housed at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. It's part of a scroll. And for those of us in the Zendo, it's a little hard to see, but there's actually a reds and purples in the painting. So again, very unusual for there to be more than two, just an ink or two color image. Here, it almost looks to me like the bowl is so powerful that the person holding on to the rope is basically flying in the air behind him, sort of off his feet. So I'm wondering if you've ever felt that way, that your mind energy was so powerful that you were just so caught up in it, you couldn't have your feet on the ground. I kind of see that in this particular image. So as I suggested, this next part is to ask you to just take a moment to kind of sit back and just based on what I've mentioned or maybe what you know about the ox riding pictures, but particularly this idea of catching the ox, maybe just to close your eyes and pause for a moment and think about what it would take for you personally to catch the ox. What would you use? And, you know, if images come up, kind of take a moment to look closely at that image. If words arise, maybe particularly words that have, you know, kind of action in them, maybe substituting the word catching. What kind of verbs arise in you when asked this koan? How are you going to catch the ox? So this is an important thing that would be very helpful to share our methods. So I'm hoping that each of you will be willing to just share what came up for you. Servette, would you start us off?
Yeah. So mainly three words came to my mind. First, to catch the self-discipline, persistence, and gentleness, kindness at the same time. And for me, to catch the ox, it's a mix of these three components.
Thank you. Grace, could you share with us what you thought of?
I'm just gonna get up and turn the volume up a little bit. Go ahead.
Yes, for me it was the method is learning where the ox likes to go. Maybe it's unpredictable and unruly, but maybe there are also some paths that it likes to travel. Maybe it likes to go towards water. Maybe it likes to be in the shade. And then the other, I'm being very metaphorical, but the other method that came to mind is the physical tool of the yoke. The yoke, once it's caught.
Thank you. Alex, say con.
I thought of talking to it. So what is this? And questions like, will this be enough? Will this make me happy? What am I trying to get here? But talking to the ox, I think, is meeting it. And then, like Sylvette said, I think befriending it is another important way.
Beata.
I was inspired to write, so I wrote something like this. I catch nothing. I started with the ox is a distraction to forget about my own impermanence. I catch nothing when trying to catch the ox, yet his strength is a mirror to my own strength. I learn that I am the ox of feeling, fear, love, shame, judgment, always returning to love. I hate the ox, yet he teaches me that I can train something. I am here thinking I can bow to the ox, yet I continue to resist. I write, I look, yes, I can, yes, I will do something. I am.
Thank you. Dino.
So, what comes to mind for me is understanding what it means to catch the ox. And depending on what it means to catch the ox, I would want to remember what it is that I'm after and consistently being around the ox and being gentle, but at the same time decisive so as to stick to the goal of what it means to catch the ox. So that there is a meaningful interaction and movement, although it's hard to force a movement when it's 2,000 pounds of habit.
Thank you. Shinrin.
So what came up for me is the notion of being compassionate to the ox and realizing that it's worthy of love and attention and being tended for it.
Yoshin.
What comes up for me is the image of myself being so tiny in comparison to the ox. The ox being so huge, and that there is really no way. It contemplates turn into, I guess, kind of like some of you were saying, in terms of respect and awe of the ox. Yeah, kind of honoring it. And knowing that time takes care of things, even in terms of the ox and myself.
Thank you. Koryu, do you have any words that come forward?
Yeah. What came forward for me was to be relaxed and confident. And it, kind of like the way that you need to be relaxed, but like really clear, like confident might be the wrong word, but like I've been around wild animals before. Like when I used to hike, sometimes I'd encounter bear, wild bears, and just have to not freak out so they don't freak out. But then also really large, heavy animals like an ox are a little terrifying to me. And so it occurred to me that in addition to being relaxed and confident, to proceed without fear and really get a handle of my own fear and let that go, to be able to catch the ox. But then I was thinking about my strategy. I figured I'd take a long, slow strategy of getting the ox just to be okay with being around me. And so it would be gradual. That's as far as I go.
Okay, thank you. So the next thing is to, and maybe you were doing this anyway, but to actually kind of form an image as the artist that we looked at the pieces, the four pieces have done, what does it look like, that contact or that connection to catching the ox? Is there a tool between you? Is there a space between you? What does that look like? Maybe what does it look like and what does it feel like? Let's take a moment to just picture that. Imagine that. Oh, I know that we have some visual artists amongst us, and it could be that the imagery comes easily, I wonder. So maybe Beata, could you tell us what you saw, what you imagined that connection to be like, the catching the ox?
First, I saw a lot of circles, like just going around in a circle in a circle. And then I did feel a stop and a pause. And then something happened in between that. And then I was seeing like walls crumble very slightly, because I was seeing like an earthquake. And a very light earthquake, like a 2.0 earthquake. So I went from circles to a wall. I don't know how I got there, but that's, and I don't know what was in between necessarily, but that's what I saw.
Thank you. Grace.
I think you used the word tool as what is between me and the ox. And I mentioned the yoke. I have never seen an ox in the flesh and definitely never caught one, but I've seen images of people riding or hurting, coaxing them, and the yoke itself looks really heavy. So in addition to this unwieldy animal, at some point I'm imagining they also have to put this massive like wooden thing on it to steer it. And it occurs to me that kind of like just getting familiar with the ox itself, you have to also, I would have to also get strong enough to like even lift up this tool.
Very useful analogy to develop the skill to use the tools necessary.
For me, I feel like it's huge, it's strong. I feel so small, humble, but I want to be friend with it, and I feel a connection with this strength, and it's like a little fascinated by it.
Yeah. Sedo.
So I'm remembering that I did this exercise a few days ago, really, it feels in my mind. And I began by sort of setting aside what I did. And what I landed on was kind of a little movie where it's just two eyeballs meeting with each other and a connection between two beings that sense their presence and sense each other's presence. And from there, I tried to understand, okay, well, what is actually meeting? It's two hearts and also two minds that are meeting. And I emerge with this notion that maybe there might be a mutually beneficial understanding that can take place when this meeting happens, where it's less about catching and controlling and more about working together in cooperation so that both of these beings are able to achieve and benefit from that action.
Sekhan. Was there an image or feeling that came up for you?
I come back to this sense that the precepts are the form of our freedom. And so the image is a fence around an ox that slowly kind of closes in and then takes the shape of the ox so that it's less like a barrier and more like skin. That's the image that came up for me.
Here. Are you any image or feeling around this that came for you?
Well, the first thing that occurs to me, it really didn't make sense, which was to be working in my pottery studio. but you know, maybe sometimes the pathway, maybe the pathway in is sort of being present for that creative generative space as well.
The tactile.
Yeah.
Bring the tactile in.
Yeah.
Yoshin, any feeling or image?
Yeah, I guess going back to my thread was the element of time, you know, for some reason that had come up. So time is formless and, you know, I guess the tools would go with that would be patience and coexistence and patience. This formless type of thing. So I don't know how that really relates to the tool, but
thank you. And Shinrin.
So the image that comes to mind for me is hugging the ox, and approaching it very calmly and lovingly, giving it a big hug.
Getting your arms around all that.
Yeah.
That's great. And I guess I'll also put myself on the spot and just sort of share what came up for me. And I've been working with the ox for a long time, and I don't know, become pretty connected with it in my practice. But what I was feeling today was the nearness of getting right up close to it, and that being right up where the ring is in its nose, and wanting to remove the ring, wanting to find a way to remove that symbol of bondage. But likewise, in my knowing that I need to hold the ox in a certain way to capture it. Like Seikon, I wanted to create a really vast field, beautiful field for the ox to be on that did have a fence, you know, a lot of space for it. And if I had to catch it, that I would call it catching it if it was inside my big fence. So that was the image I came to. And the beauty of that for me is getting that close to really looking closely at the ring of its face was that I kind of felt its very hard whiskers. Like I brought myself close enough that I could feel that I have some experience of being with animals like cats and dogs, and I know that their whiskers are hugely sensitive. And so I felt that if I could get that close and I could touch the whiskers of the ox, that the ox would really be impacted, right? It would really know I was there, even though I was just, you know, very gently touching these whiskers. So that was my connection, to kind of go through its whiskers rather than anything else that was forceful. So that was a new way for me today. I hadn't worked with the ox that way before, so this was new for me. So thank you. I want to go back just very briefly to that first image, and then we'll close. Let's see. We're going to come back up to Max's painting. Catching the ox. People, when we talked about this on Tuesday, they used all different kinds of words other than catching. Teasing the ox, listening to the ox, waiting for the ox. Bringing food to the ox, bringing something sweet it likes to smell. But even in that, here we see Max just sort of showing us it's quite a jumble, it's quite an activity. It kind of has that circular element of ongoing practice here, to really throwing ourselves in to the maelstrom of it. Yeah, and what I heard from all of you was just a really lovely, compassionate view. And so if there's anything I'd like for all of us to hold as we close this talk today, is that there are many ways in and many ways of connection. And it seemed like we could pull all of these elements in. They all feel very like harmonious weaving, as I heard each of you share what you envisioned and brought forward. So please take heart in that. Don't worry. It's not too big. We can do it. Needs are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to become it.